and Kathy Dawes again with Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy, City Manager Ron Fair, and I know just been a very, very interesting program today. We've covered a lot of territory here. I know still a little bit on the consent agenda. We thought we'd go over briefly tonight, Ron.
Sure, Kathy. It's a short agenda. We've approval of an second reading of an ordinance changing the seatbelt fine regulations. So basically, the fines are going from $10 to $30. This is something the legislature passed and made effective July 1st with the new state fiscal year. Again, whenever the legislature puts something into effect July 1st that hasn't really been vetted by their agencies for compliance rules, regulations, how are we going to do it? So normally it's part of the standard traffic ordinance, which we usually don't adopt till like November. But this provision does create actually the $20 increase is collected by the state and goes to a seatbelt safety fund that the state has set up for proper additional education. So just some other consultant work, recommending requests for qualifications, asking the commission permission to seek a consultant to help us look at all of our water booster pump stations and the capacity. So this is the ability to pump enough water to our water towers in a timely manner, and whether we need to increase the capacity of some of those pump stations with additional pumps and line sizes and that sort of thing. So $30,000 study that was budgeted in our capital improvements program. Two recommendations from selection committees, one for Aggieville and one for the campus perimeter traffic flow, which is a City University project. Both committees are recommending Olson Associates for those two projects, and so we'll be, if the commission approves that, we'll be negotiating a contract, which would then come back to the commission for consideration. And then award of a painting contract with Thomas Industrial Coatings out of Peavely, Missouri. We had three bids ranging in price from the recommended award of $232,300 up to $338,000. So good bid there to repaint one of our circular clarifiers and renovate the equipment there at the water plant.
Mayor, I know some items on the recognition and proclamation and
sure.
all that good stuff.
Sure. And, you know, I think as far as the consent agenda for the Aggieville infrastructure analysis, you know, those are areas, Aggieville as well as downtown, that we constantly try to look at as far as parking issues, traffic issues, and what we can do better, because some of those areas are getting busy for all the right reasons. But at the same time, we want to make sure we are being progressive and moving forward with some of those initiatives. But all of that does come with a cost, and we want to make sure we're doing it right. So I'm glad that we're going to start having Olson Associates look at that. We're going to be doing Day of the Cowboy, I believe, on Saturday at the Flint Hills Discovery Center. And, you know, they do this every year, at least since I've been here. And it's a wonderful event. And I hope people have some time to show up to the Discovery Center and celebrate all of the things cowboy, and all things cowboy. So it's fun, and it's a good activity, and there's lots of people that turn out all the time. So I highly suggest people just turn out and do that. And the Citizens Academy participants, I think there's about 20 of them. Is that right?
Yeah,
there's about 20 participants that go through this process about knowing more about our community. And they learn about RCPD. They learn about how the city runs businesses, all of our agencies. And it's pretty time-consuming. And so they're pretty committed and dedicated people that want to learn more about our city. So they're going to be receiving, we're going to recognize them this evening. The other thing is, and it's not on here, but the Mandela Washington Fellows, they've been here for a while, and their last week is next week, and they're going to be leaving. So Caitlin Long from the Kansas State University Staley School of Leadership Studies is going to be there to receive a certificate on their behalf. These are 23 individuals from all countries, 20 countries. Three of them are from Nigeria, but 20 other countries also that are – these are not students. These are already leaders. They've either founded an organization or a foundation, very young, active leaders in their communities and working on big initiatives. And they've been through – met many people in Kansas. They are right now in Kansas City and, you know, getting everything they can, absorbing everything, and making partnerships and trying to make sure they have some things in place. So when they go back, they're talking about healthcare, they're talking about feminine needs that need to be met, education, libraries, and these are young individuals that are very thriving, and they're very vibrant community leaders. So we're going to recognize them, and Caitlin Long is going to pick up the certificate on their behalf. So we're thrilled that they're here. But definitely lots going on. And I think, you know, I just wanted to piggyback on what one of the callers said, and Ron had responded about the safety issue for driving. These are things we experience even when school opens. You know, we have a lot of people that just speed through those 20-mile speed limits in our school zones. And there are many ways we've thought about addressing this. One of them came up with cameras. You know, if they see somebody speeding, you automatically get ticketed. But we opted not to do that because it's very not only punitive, but it's very costly on our side as well. But as technology comes along, there are better ways to handle this. And I think that's something we're going to take a closer look at. And he's absolutely right. There are zones where people just go fast. One thing could be because we don't have as much traffic, so that's a boon. The other thing is, if you're going that fast, you're going to definitely cause an accident one way or another. Roundabouts have been great in helping in that process in some of our other intersections. But that is something that people have mentioned many times as far as speed limits. So thank you for bringing that up.
Looks like we might be getting another call, although we aren't sure it's for us yet, so okay. We'll kind of hold off just a minute. And, you know, I appreciate you mentioning the Mandela Fellows. Yeah. I had a chance to talk to a couple of them, mm-hmm. and we played back the interview on one of our InFocuses, so really was a pleasure. So truly enjoyed that. Let's go ahead and go to the phone line. Welcome okay. to InFocus. Go ahead.
I'm sure you've probably addressed this, but has the city made any changes in its adoption policy for animals after the Buck incident?
So they've reviewed a lot of their procedures. I won't say that we've done any significant ones that require commission action, but you know, we're pretty much still a first come first serve shelter. But we haven't made any finite decisions. Put it that way, we're still discussing it and reviewing it.
Mayor, any right. thoughts?
Well, I think one of the things that also came out of that whole discussion was when I think Buck was neutered, is that right?
Right.
And then given, you know, sent to an adopted family 24 hours later. That was a pretty big deal, and a lot of people had their opinion about that. And our veterinarian at that time
cleared it.
So I think that's something we can maybe take a closer look at. I can see many reasons why that might not be a good thing to do. And some of those policies, they may take a closer look at and see if there are any revisions need to be made. But I doubt anything on a bigger scale needs to be done. I think we followed protocol as detailed as we can, and now Buck is in a safe place. We are happy that the community was so involved in that process. It did bring, you know, highlight a few things that we're doing really great and a few things that we can probably do a little bit better on.
I do know one of the things that the staff has done is done some educational material that we ask folks to familiarize themselves with on selecting the right animal. So, you know, we can't force or deny something relative to whether we have an opinion. Our goal is to try and match it up as best we can, but certainly you know, a lot of folks have a significant opinion about their ability to manage an animal, and the best we can do is educate them about the different aspects and issues they'll face as they adopt an animal.
Listener, I hope that answered your question.
It does. The issue that the mayor brought up was exactly my point in regard to adoption quickly after neuters. I hope that issue will be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Appreciate yep. that. We
Appreciate
have another
the call.
Caller on
yes.
hold, so thank you. You so much. Let's go ahead and take the other call. Welcome to InFocus. Go ahead, please.
You have a quick question about the playground in City Park. With it being as busy as it is sometimes during the summer, as close it is to Points and 11th Street, with the heavy traffic, has there ever been any thought about maybe enclosing that in with a fence to try to help parents keep track of their kids?
Interesting question.
It's a good comment. You know, we haven't had that discussion. You know, one of the things we did do when we built the playground, the street there actually used to go mm-hmm. through and connected to the other interior road on the north side of that towards Arts in the Park, and by making those both dead ends, we felt like that helped alleviate some of vehicular traffic, but obviously just, you know, keeping kids from wandering is an important thing. And so I don't think they're looking at that aspect in our city park master plan process, which has kind of been put on hold, but will be continue to be looked at. It's on course to be done this year. And so that certainly we can certainly pass your information on to our planners and see if there's some other components they could do to enhance safety around the playground.
Right. Thank you, listener.
Thank you.
Appreciate 537-1350. You folks are popular. We've had at least half a dozen phone calls this morning. And
good stuff.
I guess looking toward next week, are we back to normal on that too, Ron?
We are. We have a work session. This will be the fifth work session on the city budget. Sometimes it's the if work session, but we weren't able to work in our utility review and discussion. And so that'll be the primary focus of the work session is to look at our water, wastewater, and especially our stormwater rates. We have consultants on board that's looking at revamping the way our stormwater fees are structured and the basis for behind how those fees are established and how they're applied and what those rates are for the different types of residential versus commercial users. So there'll be a lengthy discussion about that. And then at the last work session, the commission did give us direction to publish the budget at with a 0.5 mill levy increase. So that was down about a half a mill roughly from where we were when we started the work session. And so there was, that particular work session was focusing on our contract with the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce for convention and visitor services, also for economic development and military relations. And there was other broader discussion about aspects of the particular budget and where we wanted to be. The public hearing on the budget will be the first meeting in August, and that's really when a lot of that will happen. We'll have a little bit of discussion on some follow-up from some question and direction based on the input from the commissioners at the previous work session. We also have scheduled a discussion, and we'll hear a request by the Manhattan Housing Authority for financial assistance to make additional repairs to the high-rise at the towers there at 5th and Leavenworth. The Manhattan Housing Authority has been working on that high-rise. They got a grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. However, one of the things that the grant doesn't cover is it was primarily there to help alleviate a mold problem. It doesn't cover the windows that are there, and also some of the sanitary sewer lines have been shown to be a problem with. And so they're seeking some funding assistance from the city, and how that might work if the city provided the funding for it, how would they be repaid. So look forward to that discussion and some direction from the commission about whether there's interest there to pursue helping them.
I grimaced because we just had major window project in our house, and I can only imagine what that would cost you. But yeah. Mayor, any comments? Consent agenda? Or it looks like we might have another call. We'll see if that's for us also.
Okay.
But
no, I think, you know, next week's discussion on the budget will probably be much deeper. We'll probably go into a lot more details. I think we've gotten are receiving all the information that we need to figure out exactly what we want to do with the mill levy or what other options we have. You know, as the city grows, we also have needs that go with it, but at the same time, we don't want to keep on increasing the mill levy for the same purpose as our taxpayers are also burdened with lots of other things coming their way. So it'll be a lengthy discussion, a very productive discussion. I think we're all ready. We've been ready to get into the weeds and see exactly what we need to be doing and if we can take anything out or if we need to move forward on some of the options that were provided by our city staff. So it's going to be a healthy discussion, and I think all five of us as city commissioners want to make sure we're doing what's in the best interest of the community, but we all might have a different way of doing it. So
very busy time of the year as you prepare for next week's meeting. I know we had law board yesterday, and I attended that meeting and covered it fairly extensively. But anything to add on that note? You'd also mentioned something about amusement parks, a discussion that I missed when I was out of town.
I think last week there was some statewide media on some of the new laws that were required for compliance with amusement park rides, and it was pretty far-reaching legislation that the legislature passed, and does affect our swimming pools. It actually our slides that we have, any slide that was over 15 feet in height has to get a permit and an inspection annually. We did have a consultant in from Texas to inspect all of our facilities, our devices this last weekend, and those have all been approved, and now we're in the process applying for those annual permits, about $10 per permit for the public side. Private side fees are quite a bit higher, and it's unusual that the legislature, usually when they pass this kind of legislation, they provide for a period of time for the agency, this in this case the Department of Labor, to gear up and able to handle it. And actually the Department of Labor really isn't. Actually, they won't even have a public hearing on the proposed rulemaking until September. So we're in our process of doing the best to comply with those laws. We've had the inspections done. It affects six slides at our pools, plus the wave rider, plus the bubble slide.
Boy, never enough time, is there? Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy, City Manager Ron Fair with us on In Focus today. Thanks for all the phone calls, folks.
Get everything you want in a checking account and more with Checking Plus from KS State Bank. KS State Bank, member FDIC. KMAN, Manhattan.
CBS News, I'm Steve K.